Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Angel Connection, a weekly show about all things angelic with your host, international healer and author, C.J. Martins.
Everybody, this is CJ Martis, and you're listening to The Angel Connection on Friday, April 6th. I hope everybody has had a great week. I know that I have, especially coming out of my experience in Chicago last week. I want to thank Liz and Terry again. You know, they're super gals that anytime I would think of anything that I needed, it was already in the works. Just incredible to have that experience that I had. For those of you that have listened to that show, this episode, though, is going to focus on the power and mystery of prayer, which was an idea that came to me from a question submitted by one of the listeners. And so I'm really excited to be able to bring some information about that particular topic tonight. And of course, as I do every week, I'll start by sharing an inspiring story with you. And this week's angel message, I know everybody's always waiting to hear what the Seraphim have to say for us this upcoming week. And of course, I'm going to open the phones for callers. Remember, the number is 1-877-296-0345. Due to the number of callers, I'm sorry if I can't get to everybody. Well, in searching for my inspiring story, you know how much fun I have with this sometimes, a headline catches my eye. It says, Florida Good Samaritan saves child of woman who flipped her off. Okay, so you can imagine me reading this title. Of course, I got to read further because it has caught my eye or intrigued me. But before I kind of share the story with you, just imagine, you know, how often, you know, somebody's in a hurry and they're behind us and they want to pass us and we're trying to, you know, go the speed limit and all this. So imagine, you know, driving with your own children, heading to your grandmother's house, and up behind you comes this Jeep, and it's kind of riding, you know, real close to your car and all this. And this woman had this Jeep come up behind her. And so it comes up behind her real fast, and then it eventually passes her in a no-passing zone. And as the lady goes by, she flips her the bird, okay? And she wasn't doing anything. She was observing the speed limit. I don't know if anybody has encountered something like this, but I actually have, and I'm wondering why I'm getting flipped off. But anyhow, so what the lady that had the car whip around her, you know, noticed as she is telling her story, noticed as she's going by that, you know, the lady's got a child in the car and she's kind of worried driving like that, you know, about the child, and there was a lot of smoke coming out of the car. And so about 30 seconds later, though, she catches up to the car. The car is pulled by the side of the road. It is engulfed in flames. And the woman that flips the other lady off is screaming, help me get my baby out of the car. And she had a 4 or 5-year-old in the back of the car, and the car's in flames, and she cannot get the seatbelt to release. So this woman, who's the Good Samaritan in this story, helps her get her daughter out of the car. And, you know, I just started thinking about this, you know, when we get a little irritated with people, maybe we think they're driving too slow, you might not want to flip the bird because somebody might be coming up. That might be that person that helps to save you and your family. I just thought it was such an interesting story that I had to share with everybody tonight. So, you know, be nice to people, be patient. I know that we even, thank goodness the angels were in Chicago with us, because we actually had somebody, and I don't know how we did not get hit, try to cut in between the car that we were in and another car. It was quite scary. I want to thank the angels on air, I guess, for saving us in that equation, you know. But slow down out there, because I know that sometimes I'm getting just a bit of a hurry. And like I said, this lady was real lucky that the lady didn't hold a grudge against her and helped her with her little one. Okay, so this week's angel message, here we go. Dear ones, springtime reminds you about the emergence of life from the earth as all the living things come back to life after dormancy of the winter. This week is all about your own awakening and unfolding as well. You are just like the beautiful flowers that slowly come into bloom this time of year. Being mindful this week, will be a great way to discover your own beauty. Notice how your beauty is reflected to you from those that are around you in your life now. How do these moments in time allow you to discover the truth of who you are? There are many issues which can prevent you from seeing your own truth and beauty, whether it be past traumatic experiences, those times when you felt like a failure, instances where you felt inadequate, and so forth. What keeps you from healing and releasing the old energies in your life? What is preventing you from forgiving yourself and others now? You will need deeper roots in the coming months, but the roots we speak of are your connection to Source rather than the roots that you might imagine that ground you to the earth. It is now time to plant the seeds of what you want more of in your life and clear out the weeds that will choke the life right out of you. Your intention will be amplified by the energies this week, so be mindful of them. What intention will you set for the upcoming week? Do you usually have a conscious intention at all? Setting your positive intentions and affirming your growth are very important for you. Setting these intentions can help to offset the deeper wounds that we know you are currently trying to heal. The next few weeks are extremely supportive of allowing you to see the truth of those situations that trigger you emotionally. In order to take advantage of this process, you only need to be and allow. This is not a mental or logical process, but a feeling one. It is a healing process that encourages you to surrender more and let go of control when you feel fear. Whenever you find yourself with concern for the past or future, calmly and with love, bring yourself back to the now. Remind yourself you only need to deal with what is occurring in this moment. Stay clearly focused on the current experience and simply let it be whatever it will be. Then take the next moment as it comes, and so forth. This will help you heal more quickly and without undue emotional suffering. We wish to celebrate the recent moments that you've had with such clarity and peace. Continue the process of self-love more and more. Allow our support to enter your heart and guide the way toward greater freedom. You are divine and wonderful. Until next time, we are the Seraphim. I really like this message of the week talking about, you know, planting the seeds of what we want more of in our life, you know, affirming ourselves and allowing ourselves to grow like the beautiful flowers or the roses out of my garden. And I thought it was so interesting because the topic for discussion this evening really has to do with, you know, those things that are contained within the message. You know, many people believe in the power of prayer and believe prayer can make a difference in our lives. But, you know, how does prayer work? You might wonder why some of those prayers just seem to go unanswered. We might even wonder if anybody is listening at all. You know, I'm a firm believer that prayer is one of our most powerful tools. I think so much is misunderstood sometimes, though, about prayer, how it works, and how we can unlock our power through our connection to Source. And if you think about it, prayer has been used for centuries by all faiths, everywhere in the world. In fact, there's evidence of prayer being used, you know, over 5,000 years ago. So this idea of prayer is not, you know, a new one. And I guess there's all kinds of types of prayers, you know, different ways that we can pray. You know, the most common types of prayer are called petition or worship, intercessory, and thanksgiving. You know, in a petition prayer, it's when we pray for something that needs to be provided, right? Intercessory prayer is, you know, like when we ask and have prayers on another's behalf, while worship and thanksgiving prayers communicate the praying person's worship and thanksgiving to God. And I kind of had to chuckle because it's personally the Seraphim's favorite, well, because they're Seraphim, and, you know, the Seraphim are all about praise, thanks, gratitude, and all of that, because they're the host of heaven that praises the glory of God. And, you know, there's so much that's been intriguing to me all through about the efficacy of prayer. You know, how does prayer really impact us? And in recent years, since we're going to be talking about a couple different ways that you know, we typically pray versus what Greg Braden calls the lost mode of prayer. But, you know, in recent years, science has tried to make a as they're leaping, you know, into understanding the quantum universe, they wanted to know how prayer works from more of a scientific perspective. And through some of these studies, which, you know, everybody tries to pick apart studies and all of that, but, you know, they've shown that prayer can have a profound effect. And so there was actually a pretty big study done with coronary care heart patients at San Francisco's General Hospital back in the 80s. And what they did is they basically gave two different groups instructions. Nobody knew who they were praying for. You know, so it was kind of meant to be a double-blind study. And what they found when these groups would pray for these particular patients, that they required less medication during their recovery, that their healing was much faster, that there were all these many benefits, of course, of being prayed for by these groups. You know, and I like I said, I had studied this in other studies about the effectiveness of prayer while in my vibrational healing training program, because some of you know that's my background. In fact, truthfully, I contribute mass prayer to helping my own husband's miraculous recovery from his car accident 6 years ago. You know, I didn't know what else to do when everything was going on, and so I literally spent my time calling every church, synagogue, temple in Kansas City to ask that they pray for him. Okay. So how do we pray? You know, we can pray in a variety of ways. We can pray out loud, silently, chant, sing hymns. Of course, there are organized prayers with various religions, okay? So what I want to talk about first, though, is logic-based prayer or asking for intervention, okay? Many of us were taught how to pray when we were children, or we saw examples of prayer that others have done. Typical prayer might be, God, help me and my family financially because we're having problems, or please help me to have a good interview tomorrow. This job is very important to me. These kinds of prayers are what we call kind of logic-based prayers, and it's an important part of prayer to understand. So there's five things that logic-based prayer focuses on. One, we focus upon present conditions where we believe that a situation or circumstance or quality doesn't exist, right? Something that we need or don't have. Number two, we may feel helpless, powerless, or angry at the events and conditions that we are witness to. So we have that sense of powerlessness, okay? The third, we employ our prayer of asking by inviting divine intervention from a higher power to bring something to bear upon, you know, individuals, conditions, and places where we believe that something is missing. Number four, through our asking, we may unknowingly, though, affirm the very conditions that we least desire. When we say, let there be peace, for example, we are declaring that peace is not present in a particular situation. In doing so, we may actually feel the condition that we have chose to change. And I'm going to explain that as we go through, you know, the topic. And fifth, we continue then to ask for intervention until we see a change actually occur. Well, what I started to read about a while back was something called The Lost Mode of Prayer. There's a book that, you know, was released by Greg Braden. And, you know, whether we're talking about a lasting relationship, the perfect job, or the healing of disease, the principle is really the same. You know, we're simply reminded that the stuff that underlies all of creation is a malleable essence that reflects what we feel. So what we choose to create, we must first feel as a reality, is what Braden says. If we can feel it in our hearts, not just think it, but also really feel it, that's when things are possible in our lives, which I believe. That most of our experience and power comes through our feelings. So we like to try to take those undesirable feelings and push them away from time to time. I know I do too. But it's our feeling that can give us that power. So Greg Braden, who's a scientist, published a book on this type of prayer, and I do recommend it if you want to delve deeper into the topic. And he stated that scientific studies on prayer in the quantum field show how the observer affects reality not only on an individual level, but also on a larger societal level. And he gives an example of praying for peace, for instance. He says that we know that peace always exists and is present somewhere. The same is true of health and happiness. They always exist somewhere or have existed in some form in our lives. The key, though, he says, is to hone in on these positive qualities of our experience, viewing the world as it already is with appreciation and gratitude. So he says, by doing so, we open the door to greater possibilities. We've already seen what happens when millions of people pray for peace to come in our world. And what would happen if millions of people felt the feelings of gratitude and appreciation for the well-being that is already there? And I kind of try to wrap my head around him saying that, you know, it's like, what would the world be like? Well, you know me, as if you've been listening to my show, I am the eternal optimist, aren't I? You know, I think if we all could move into this kind of space that he's describing, that many great things would be possible. So, you know, how can we look at prayer differently rather than it being what I'm, and when I'm talking about logic-based prayer, being more of a prayer that's in our head rather than what Braden calls, you know, feeling or heart-based prayer. Okay. And it was like the example I gave when I was answering the caller's question, or not callers, but the person that submitted the question about prayer and the scientific, you know, connection to it. Was that experience that Braden had where, you know, he went out to pray for rain, and this is actually where he learned about this concept. It's because the shaman stood there for a little bit and didn't really seem to be doing anything, and then they left, and then it rained and rained, so he asked him about it. And this is the type of prayer that that shaman was doing. And so there are components to how to pray from the space of the heart. The first, he says, is we have to witness all events as possibilities without judgment of right, wrong, bad, or good, which you've heard me harp on that being sort of a polarity, right, when we're looking at things to the extremes. Two, he says, we must release our judgment of the situation by blessing those conditions that have caused us pain. And I know that could be probably a tall order, because sometimes when things are unpleasant, obviously blessing the situation isn't, you know, very helpful. But he gives a little bit more of a hint here. He says, the blessing doesn't condone or consent to the event or condition. And, I think I would use a word like acceptance, right, rather than blessing, because to me, we would have to accept it. But he says, rather, it acknowledges that the event is part of a single source of all that is. It's a phrase I say a lot. It is what it is, right? I just accept it. I don't really have a judgment of what's going on. I just say it is what it is. So he says that second thing. The first thing is to release the judgment. The second thing is then to accept what is going on. The third thing he says is by feeling the feelings of our prayer already answered, we demonstrate the ancient quantum principle stating that the conditions of what we desire within ourselves are mirrored in the world beyond our bodies. Okay. In other words, what he is describing is if we are praying for greater abundance at all levels, whether it be monetary or, you know, just in our relationships, you know, because abundance can come at so many levels. What he's saying is that we have to get in a space where we feel, and we, you know, it's like closing your eyes and you feel it. You feel gratitude for the abundance that you do have. So it's kind of like looking at it through the lens of that possibility is already exists in this present moment to have it. And the fourth, he says, is we acknowledge the power of prayer and know or feel that our focus of our prayer has already come to pass. So again, envisioning or praying from a space that connects to our feelings of gratitude, of seeing it already manifested. Okay, and I think it goes because we're such powerful individuals well beyond just the power of positive thinking. You know, it's just being able to use that intention and connect to the feeling of that whatever we want, whatever we're seeking, to have already come to pass. And with the work that I do with like the Akashic Record and all of this, I mean, it makes sense to me, you know, because all the possibilities for each of us already exist, okay, and we're drawing them into our lives. So moving into this lost mode of prayer, the way that the ancients, you know, the way that the wise men of the indigenous peoples, you know, would pray, you know, wasn't praying to take away a particular state of being. It's praying into the possibility and so of something else occurring. You know, and Evidence really suggests that our world and our bodies mirror what we think, feel. So we must be very clear that our prayers originate from our hearts rather than our heads. From our hearts rather than our heads. And this is really, the bottom line is this, kind of at a quantum level. This is why shifting into feeling prayer is going to be more effective. You know, you'll hear much of what I teach. You'll note again that I talk about polarity a lot because of how deeply I feel it affects each of us that are on a spiritual journey. The logic of our brain works in polarity, left brain, right brain, light, dark, good, bad, right, wrong, etc. Praying for something creates a strong feeling, a charge of what should or should not be. Again, thinking about it that way. The physics of our world require that something that is created with a charge in one polarity, then the opposite must be created as well to balance it. So we can make our prayers ineffective, essentially, by praying from a logic or a polarity-based viewpoint. So what happens when we have more of that logic, you know, and the thinking aspect of prayer, we may have something going on subconsciously that's sort of counteracting it. So that may be why prayers aren't answered, you know. If we come from an empowered space, then we may be able indeed to connect with more of that manifestation of those prayers, you know, being answered. And I understand that I have a caller that wanted to comment about the show topic. So I want to welcome him to the Angel Connection. Jay, you're on the Angel Connection. Welcome.
Hey, thank you very much for letting me be a part of your show, CJ.
Oh, no problem. My producer said you had a comment about the topic.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a job just recently, and within about 2 hours of getting an interview and a job offer, and I had to, what I learned so far, you know, you're talking about Greg Braden's book, Secrets of the Lost Mode of Prayer, but what I also did is that I prayed the feeling of me getting a job and had to eliminate the pray for, the need and the try and the want to get the job, because I know those are pitfalls that we actually go towards or talk about all the time of lack. So
right.
I didn't pray for a job. I felt the feeling of the job, and I felt really great being amongst great people and you know, having a great experience with these people and having a great, you know, pay too. And it is, and right now it's working out quite well with that perspective. But I didn't do the pray for things. I learned this when I was doing some sweat lodges before, people would pray for stuff, and then I would see them, you know, a year or two down the road, and they would still be, you know, where they are right now, and for health or abundance and stuff like that, because it's lack. You know, pray for is lack. And right now, because the energies are so full of abundance coming our way and releasing stuff, it's a great time to work on ourselves through the heart, to better ourselves, to, you know, have that feeling of greatness of ourselves and how we manifest that.
You know,
heart.
I am so glad that you called, Jay, see, because we have somebody here that's able to share with us how this actually worked for you. And did you find it hard at first to get into that kind of a space? Or,
Well, the thing is that I did meditation for about 2 weeks before I got the job to calm myself down, and that helped out quite a bit. But also, we have to look at the aspects of prayer that that we don't think of. When we actually think of another person and they phone us, that is actually a form of prayer. But we don't consider it as prayer because we think it's sort of ritual. I pray, blah, 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 you know, words.
Mm-hmm.
So when we, let's say, manifesting a relationship or a job and things like that, we really have to work on ourselves to have that peace of feeling in our body of no fear and calmness, because that energy is always being connected to the universe through our heart, okay? And it rides that emotional, rides that energy wave towards the universe to whatever we're manifesting, okay, to bring into, physical form. And with the prayer also, I mean, you were talking about petition prayer. mm-hmm. where you're asking actually angels to help you along too with that too.
Mm-hmm.
And with the native stuff I do, I just pray from the heart. Pray the feeling heart. The feeling from the heart. Because I find there's two differences. One is more specific with the angels, and one is more the feeling with the native stuff, the earthbound type of energies. So I had to distinguish that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they all do help in reaching some sort of goal that you're looking for or something. And it may not appear now, but it'll appear in the future because everything happens simultaneously.
Well, and you bring up some wonderful and excellent points. And, you know, with so many people out of work right now, with so many people, you know, they're facing some of their greatest fears right now. And to not come from that space of lack or what, you know, because if we're, and I'm sure you agree, if we're always looking at our life from the things that are not present, then we're just essentially blocking the possibility because all of those possibilities really are there. And so I'm so grateful you called in, you know, to help with the show by sharing us, you know, what your experience was.
Yeah, we do for when you know, there's in religion or church. You know, this weekend it's Easter,
mm-hmm.
and church, they do a form of prayer. But they, if you figure out what Greg Braden talks about bringing peace and things like that, it works the same way in church. For
mm-hmm.
example, they would do a little bit like people get all together and they would actually do some sort of singing, okay, or whatever, a hymn or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then the priest or the minister would come in and talk a little bit about whatever. And what they're doing is creating a bonding between everyone else's energy of peace and also bringing the energy a little bit higher, too, where people are feeling really wonderful after they leave the sermon. But it's actually, there's a point in during church services that let's pray. But they'll say pray for, but let's pray whatever. And that actually does help really get the movement of energy going towards the universe. But it is the same way as you're talking about within the Secrets of the Lost Mode of Prayer
mm-hmm.
and bringing peace. So it works the same way. It works the same way. And, you know, chanting with monks in the East the same way. They do chanting and prayer at the same time, okay, for long periods of time to bring peace in your body. So it's I find that when you're doing this stuff, it's a great way to do something like meditation or something like to fool your logical mind from getting
mm-hmm.
in there so it doesn't connect with the universe through the logic of your top of your head, but it's also through your heart. So that's how the chanting and you know and praying at the same time it really fools your body or your logical mind thinking what's you know this is just a chant, but it actually is more stuff going on behind the scenes in your body to bring peace
yeah.
and connect with the universe. So.
Well, absolutely, and that's a good reminder, you know, whatever your practice is this weekend heading into Easter, you know, try this because, you know, when we all group together and instead of praying for, pray peace and fill yourself with those things, we can all, you know, send such wonderful tidings into the universe. And I hate to cut you off because this is a marvelous discussion, but I already see that we're getting toward the end of the show.
Goodness gracious,
this stuff goes by too quickly. But I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And blessings to you this Easter.
I will. Thank you much. I got a lot of stuff going on and releasing stuff, and it's a great time for me to do it. So it's a great time for everybody else to do it too, to have a great and abundant and beautiful, lovely life. Waiting for us in this 2012.
I agree. Take care, sweetie.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, you know, I can't believe it's gone by, and I know there was another caller, so my apologies to not getting to that caller, but I felt like Jay had a lot to share with us of things to be mindful of this Easter weekend. So I realized that here we are again at the end of the day, end of the show. It's all the time we have this evening. You know, it's been a pleasure to share this time with you. As always, I express gratitude every day for all of you listening and for the show. Be sure to tune in next week because I've got a treat for you. We'll be talking to a wonderful woman by the name of Lisa Dory. She's called the Angel Interpreter. And I really can't wait for her to share her incredible story with us. So until then, my friends, remember to be angelic to yourselves so that you can become an angel to others. Take care and many blessings for the coming week.